So we have a room full. We have the former host of the King Biscuit Flower Hour, Bill Minkin, in here. And before we talk to Bill again and introduce Bill's friend, I also want to bring in Brad Locker of Live Nation. Brad, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, Brad, get this, has given us 100, is it pairs or tickets?
100 pairs.
Oh, my God.
Good God. Wow. 100 pairs of tickets that we're going to give away all next week. Here are some of the shows we have tickets for. Def Leppard in Irvine, Hair Nation in Irvine, Dead and Company, Irvine, Heart with Joan Jett and Cheap Trick, Journey Santana, Brian Adams at the Greek, Brian Adams at Irvine Meadows, Joe Walsh and Bad Company at the Forum, Boston, at the Greek, Michael McDonald and Boss Skaggs at the Greek, ZZ Top and Greg Allman at the Greek, and Fish at the Forum. Get this.
Yes.
We had Fish 7 years ago on Mark and Brian. Fish is still at the venue, still playing.
They are a jam band.
So listen, Brad, all we can say is thank you. We're already working diligently on the way we're going to give these away.
It's going to be it is the best summer ever when you hear those names, right?
Oh, man, it's going to be good.
All right, so I think, Bill, the best way to do this, since he's your friend and he's joining us on the phone, Bill, why don't you introduce him?
Ladies and gentlemen, live from New York. Hi, Marty.
Hey, Bill.
Duce.
Hey.
This is.
By the way, when I say Duce, Mark, that's Italian for leader. It's not Il Duce.
No, well, it's not the Mussolini thing.
This is Martin Scorsese. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Good morning.
Such an honor as a fan of film, which I am. One of the things that I've all, but obviously your work, that's beside the point. I have always really loved the fact that you are like me. You love watching film.
Mm. Yes, I still do.
You know, one of the things that I've been kind of adamant about is that we here in America, it seems that we've gotten to be the blockbuster.
Right.
Country and some of the great films we have to depend on independent to bring those sweet little stories like The Room that we got. That was a small independent film that was fantastic.
Yeah. How about Youth? You know, Marty, I think Harvey Keitel got robbed. He should have been nominated.
Sorrentino's picture is terrific.
Yes, and Harvey should have been nominated for that. It was an incredible performance.
I know.
And Michael Caine. Mark, you must see this movie. It's incredible.
What's it called?
Youth.
Oh, yeah.
Giovinezza.
Yeah, from the last year.
Yeah.
Great use of music in it, by the way.
Everything.
Beautiful images.
Cinematography.
Harvey Keitel's great.
Yeah.
Michael Caine is great. And Rachel Weisz is the most beautiful. And
that was Bill, by the way. So,
okay.
Mr. Scorsese, one of the things I heard that I liked was somebody who once said, the script doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is the story.
Well, it's always good to have a good script. However, I mean, the script, the kind of pictures that I've over the years tried to make, doesn't necessarily depend on a line-by-line sort of translation to screen of what there is on the page. It has to be interpreted. The script is... The thing about a script is that it's still a script. The final form is the film. That's not the final form of the work of art that you're doing. It's the film, ultimately. And a lot could happen between that script and getting it on the screen.
Absolutely.
A lot could go wrong. A lot could go right. You know, but I've always felt that with the story and with the looseness, with the actors, the situations, the structure of the film, all of this. The music, everything together, could try to become something other than just a simple interpretation of something which is on the page.
Good example, Mark. If I can reveal this, the original script for Taxi Driver, there's not a lot of dialogue in a lot of it.
You know, you're right, Bill. I've forgotten about that.
You know, and that scene with you talking to me, that was
that was totally
that's all Bob.
Yeah. And you forgot about too that we did lines because I saw everybody last Thursday night. There was Bob De Niro and Harvey Keitel and Paul Schrader and Michael Phillips and Sybil Shepherd and Jodie Foster for the 40th anniversary of the film at Tribeca, and they talked about us rewriting some of the dialogue for Albert Brooks and Sybil, and Sybil and Bob, and then of course what came up was the improvisation in front of that mirror, you know, that Bob pulled out, and it was quite something. But I got to tell you, that was a very tight script. That was a very very strong script by Paul Schrader. The soul of that script, you know, you couldn't mess with it. It was a great piece of work.
Marty, you remember we were out in that broiling heat in Brooklyn, and Albert Brooks didn't want to do the line. It's the only line that's the only comic relief in the whole movie, right?
Oh
my God, we're sweating and dying. Marty comes over and he says, Bill. Go over to Albert. Talk to him. I said, what are you talking? Talking about what? He says, you won't do the scene. I see. He said, you're a comedian. Go over and talk to him. I said, oh, Jesus.
Oh, God. So but now, that was the thing, because the part that he was playing, Tom, was a very, very simply written thing. I thought, well, Albert is so brilliant. I thought, and it's funny, genuinely funny, not shtick.
Yes.
Not, so it's like, Bill. So it's like, I said, well, might as well try to have... Albert do this part, and he might be able to give it some genuine humor that comes out of the situation. But Albert could be,
Was he a little finicky?
Well, it's not finicky. You see, it was out of context. You know, when you're shooting a movie, it's not always, from page one.
Linear, yeah.
Yeah, and Albert really didn't understand what went before it.
Oh.
So, and I'll be honest with you, Marty, to this day, I never told you this. I didn't either. Because you're a comedian, talk to him, and I never told you what I said to him. I came over and I said, Albert, hi, am I Bill Menken? Yeah, I know about you, and Martin told me all about it. I said, look, and he's pissed off, really pissed off. And I said, look, Albert, I don't understand this either, all right? I mean, I don't even know if it's funny, but... You know, do you like Marty? Do you respect Marty? Oh, he's great. I can't believe I'm on this film. I said, Albert, just let's do the lines. It's a flat kind of thing. Who the hell knows? We'll just improvise when I get out there, okay?
Yeah.
All right, fine. Yeah. So Marty says, all right. Is it okay? We're losing time. I said, that's okay, Marty. It's okay. So we go and we shoot this thing. And when you see it now, it's very funny because I'm this guy who's like, like Danny. I got it all covered. It's okay. Have you ever done this before?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I've done it a million times before. Have you really ever done it? No, I've never done this.
That's right.
And he gives me this take, and Marty caught that, and then it's cut, and he still looked at me. He says, do you still think this is funny? I said, Albert, just trust Marty, all right? It'll be fine.
If you just joined us, the former host of the King Biscuit Flower Hour, Bill Menken, is in the room.
Yeah.
Brad Locker of Live Nation is in the room. And on the phone is the great Martin Scorsese. Martin, I just want to quickly bring up Raging Bull, which, by the way, Gina hasn't seen it.
Thank you, Mark.
You know,
that's quite all right.
I watch that movie once a year at least. And I have so many favorite moments, but the quintessential scene for me that I always adore, that I think shows exactly who the Raging Bull is the scene with De Niro. He's gotten fat, he's eating a sandwich while trying to fix the television, and then he accuses Pesci, you've been effing my wife. That thing, it goes from calm and lucid to oh my God. And yes.
I've been hearing things.
Yeah.
What are you going to hear? Hearing nothing.
Now,
look what you look like.
In that scene, and I think I know the answer, was De Niro and Pesci allowed to just kind of move through the lines as they wanted to and just kind of improvise those moments?
Actually, that was a scene that was worked out between Bob and myself in several sessions where we would talk about it and wrote down, or not that we didn't write down, but we video audiotaped it. And then I composed the scene based on the structure that Schrader had given us. I opened it up and composed that scene and wrote that down. And they pretty much went line by line.
Wow.
Except for a couple of things that Joe Pesci said, do a little more of this and a little less of that. do a little more in the bedroom, whatever it is, and a little less of eating. You know,
can you ask me that?
A line like that. Start here. You know, kill me. Start here. Start with me. That pretty much that was structured on the page, and they just kept working at it, and it was a quite a shoot. It was really a great day of shooting.
By the way, Mark, a shout out to Mardik Martin, who's also Marty and I close friend. He's the one of the authors of that with Paul Schrader.
That's right.
And I think he was the one who adapted the book originally with Marty, wasn't he?
Yeah, Mark worked on it for 2 years. Yeah.
Well, did that relationship, Mr. Scorsese? I'm Gina. This is an absolute honor. Did that relationship make Goodfellas that much easier?
When we got to do Goodfellas?
Yeah, 10 years later.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It wasn't. There's nothing easy with them, you know.
Right. Just putting all their business out there.
You know, there's nothing easy. They're completely, you know. But at least it became as if, you know, you didn't know whether the camera was rolling or not. It didn't matter.
Wow.
You see, it becomes like behavior.
I think you would have won an Academy Award, Mark, that year if it wasn't for Robert Redford's Ordinary People.
Oh, Ordinary People. Yeah.
Yeah.
What a fantastic piece of film that is. Gina, urging, you watched it.
That ruined Mary for me. That was a rough one.
But she was great in it.
She was fantastic, too fantastic.
All right, so I wanted to share, Bill here is going to be hosting a very special edition of The Sounds My Turn, the program at 6 p.m. on Sunday evening, May the 15th, featuring some of his favorite moments and memories from the King Biscuit Flower Hour. And of course, Brad from Live Nation, we are going to spend all of our waking moments trying to figure out the best way to give away 100 pairs of concert tickets in a week. By the way,
we have an email thread going and everything.
Yeah, I don't doubt for a second that you're on top of it.
And Mr. Scorsese, I will back up what Gina just said. Thank you so much
for your
level of work, and keep doing it, please,
Marty. Before you hang up, you know this means a lot. It means a lot to me. You know that. And
yeah. Oh, Bill, what'd you say?
I said, this means a lot to me. You know that.
Okay, I just wanted to hear it again.
No, but you know, I've been my last 6 or 7 months have been a cross between Shock Corridor and The Snake Pit, your two favorite movies. So I want you to leave a story that, because actually Marty adapted this weasel attached, an intimate moment between us, and he put it in Alice Doesn't Live Here Anymore, between Alfred Lutter and Jodie Foster. And this was, Marty and I were writing a movie out. Marty and I went to college together. We went to the New York Film School. We taught in NYU together. We worked on Woodstock together from there. And he was we were writing a political comedy. And he was very depressed about everything one day. He leaves, you know, and we're young guys. And he takes this deep sigh. And he says, Bill, life is short. I said, Marty, so are you. And that's what he did. He started to laugh and laugh and laugh. So put it in, we'll put it into it.
I still use it.
And so so now the times, it's reversed, Marty.
I know, kid.
Reverse.
Right, so,
yeah, my Fratello.
Mr. Scorsese, let me ask this one question, and I'm going to let you go. I've never heard one New Yorker say the same thing. If I'm in New York and I want to go for the best slice in the city, where am I going?
Oh, well, I like Angelo's on 57th Street.
Hey, forget about it. It's got to be John's. What are you talking about?
Come on.
Well, listen.
You kidding me?
The hang has been great. Gentlemen, thank you all so much for joining. And Mr. Macon, you're welcome in here anytime. Not that you're not, Brad.
Wait a minute.
Anytime we have National Concert Day, I'll be here for you.
Mark, before you get rid of me.
Yeah.
You know, Gina, we didn't tell everybody, but, you know, the word for family in Yiddish is mishpucha.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you visit mishpucha, you got to bring something.
Oh.
Mm.
So
right.
I brought some gifts along with Marty.
This man doesn't know how to come empty-handed.
Right. And so for Gina's birthday, I got her these...
an exploding, an unbelievable bouquet of flowers that I
can't even see Bill's face because of them.
I can't thank you enough. They are absolutely stunning.
Take them down,
because
I got to show Mark that I got
them. Okay.
Mark.
Yeah.
Cohiba Turo.
Oh, my God. You're my favorite person on the earth.
Then we got to give a shout out to Maurice over there at Havana Cigars in Studio City.
Wow.
Because he told me these are even better than the Cuban Cohibas.
Bill, you didn't bring a box of Danish?
Oh, I did.
I brought
Portos.
From Portos for Jackie.
What the hell?
And I don't think you've seen this. For Katie, he made this unbelievable chick on the street microphone. So you are a lovely man.
That, by the way, Mark, that's from this is Plug City. That's from Frank Schaeffel and the Candy Factory in North Hollywood.
It's edible, Katie.
I'll totally edible.
Well, Bill.
So, yes.
I can't eat it. Yes. She just about knocked Brad out of his chair to get to the candy.
It's pink and yellow and edible.
Oh, hey, my God, I've got to have it.
Hey, Bill, in passing, it's always a joy in my career and my world to meet a legend like yourself, having hosted the King Biscuit Flower Hour all those years. And so, you're welcome in here anytime.
I got to ask Marty one last question.
Yep.
Marty, we were such music fans. You know, we went to the Fillmore together when we saw Tommy and the great blues star. When you met Mick Jagger for Shining On for the first time, now, as famous as you are and the great things you've done, you're still a fan. What was that like? What was that like?
Well, you're right. It took a while. It took about a year, you know, because we got together and eventually this thing, Vinyl, came out of it. But he met me about this back in 1996. So, you know, it took about a year of meetings and talking to really feel, to get that objectivity, the distance, and to also understand where he was coming from, you know. But it's still Mick.
That's what I meant. What was that like that first day? What are you, I'm an eye.
Oh, it's absurd. It's an absurd. You know, it's like some sort of surrealistic dream.
By the way, they had in the first episode of Vinyl, thanks again for that one, too, they have me announcing Humble Pie on the King Biscuit Flower.
Oh, my God.
Because it opened that year, 72.
Mr. Scorsese EP'd that, right? Executive produced?
No, yes, I actually EP'd it, but I
directed that particular episode.
Oh,
yeah.
Fantastic.
By the way, it was great. I loved it.
Mr. Scorsese, Mr. Meekin, Mr. Locker, thank you so much for the time.
Thank you.
Happy concert day.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, sir.
I'll speak to you later. Love you.
Love you, too.